Basically, we have three types of section. We have a in and out of the towns, a slow speed transit section, probably averaging only 30 miles an hour or something. You then have a limited section, which is on open roads, traffic, and everything coming in the other direction, which they give you also give you a time for.
Up the wheels and sent us over the cliff right outside of San Luis Potosi. We rolled about four times and then parked it in the bottom of the arroyo.
Feeling reasonably pleased with ourselves and arrived to find that Steve and Dave had gone over the edge. And we'd known nothing about it at all. There was no sign on the road as we drove through. They went into a corner too fast, either through misreading the pace notes or whatever. And basically took off over the edge of a cliff and landed, I think, upside down on a small road below. Dave is fine, maybe a few cuts and bruises, and Steve, broken leg. The general feeling seems to be that they're incredibly lucky to have got away so lightly. So many different territories. The people are terrific, fantastic. One of the greatest races in the history of motorsport.
Get out, we'd blast the stereo, we'd start dancing in the middle of the street. All the buses were coming by, we're serving cookies. Ours was like the hospitality car. So that was our chance to party.
I think sometimes when we go streaming through some village, you think, if I did this somewhere in England, you just know that the complaints and it would just be impossible.
Our people is really involved in racing. And you know the name of the Panamericana road race has gone through generations. And young people got to know the cars that used to race in Mexico. And that's a big achievement. They really enjoyed those Mercedes and Alphas and Porsches and Jaguars that are not really easy to see in Mexico.
The race this year was good. It was a lot faster than it's been previously. The attrition rate was higher. The cars were better prepared. They went faster. They broke quicker.
We have a more competitive race now and better cars, a lot more faster drivers, and a little bit more accidents.
There were probably 35 cars that didn't finish.
Only three teams of girls, the Carlsberg and Gladys, which their car broke down, and Claudia and Marielle, they finished.
And their car broke a lot.
Yeah, and we're the ones that made it. That was the best because you really got to meet all the people.
Those little things of mezcal didn't hurt either, but we thought it was like, what, gas avion? But we were
like those
anyway.
Octane boosters, they were really, man.
Something else. I didn't know that how much work it was going to be, because usually when I go with her to the races, it's more, you know, party, but this time you really did have to do a little bit of work.
Would you do it again?
Oh, yeah, definitely, in a minute.
We finished 8th overall, which I'm thrilled with, because there's nothing ahead of us that we could really have beaten. I think that's the thing. All the cars ahead are quicker, very well driven, and generally just producing more power.
energizing
15
song.
15 cassettes, and she plays the same one over and over. So I put my song on, and I played it like 5 times. So all tomorrow we're playing the same song, but my song.
No, my song.
Fabulous day. Couldn't get any power and up at altitude in the earlier stages.
Car got a lot harder today than yesterday because we were going around 140 miles today.
In this race, what you really need is especially brakes, suspension, and cooling. You really have to have the cooling system real good.
Oh, I keep waiting to lose about 10 pounds or something, but it hasn't worked yet.
I don't know what's wrong with it at the moment. All the hoses got new. This is a brand new engine. Bought it out of the Ford dealer the other night. For $1,000 because the race engine blew up. I think we're going to christen this the old nail.
The only thing, we run over the dog. We didn't want to, but we had to. And then there were 5 horses in our speed section, so we had to slow down. And
we lost time on that.
A lot of time. But the second speed section was a lot faster. And we're getting along pretty good now. We're not fighting or anything.
Managed to pinch a bit of avgas at lunchtime. Aviation fuel, that is. To add to the rather low-octane stuff you get over here. Seemed to make us fly this afternoon. We were definitely motoring.
And she plays the same one over and over. So I put my song on, and I played it like 5 times. So all tomorrow we're playing the same song, but my song.
No, my song.
Fabulous day. Couldn't get any power and up at altitude in the earlier stages.
Car got a lot harder today than yesterday because we were going around 140 miles today.
In this race, what you really need is especially brakes, suspension, and cooling. You really have to have the cooling system real good.
Oh, I keep waiting to lose about 10 pounds or something, but it hasn't worked yet.
I don't know what's wrong with it at the moment. All the hoses got new. This is a brand new engine. We bought it out of the Ford dealer the other night. For $1,000 because the race engine blew up. I think we're going to christen this the old nail.
The only thing, we run over the dog. We didn't want to, but we had to. And then there were 5 horses in our speed section, so we had to slow down. And
we lost time on that.
A lot of time. But the second speed section was a lot faster. And we're getting along pretty good now. We're not fighting or anything.
Managed to pinch a bit of avgas at lunchtime. Aviation fuel, that is. To add to the rather low-octane stuff you get over here. Seemed to make us fly this afternoon. We were definitely motoring. I don't know what speed we were doing, but it's quite frightening. We didn't know how dangerous it was, but as the days went by, we were certainly feeling that it was a very, very dangerous race. Which is probably why it was stopped in 1954.
Okay. Call out the corners, though. No, I've got... There's plenty of gravel on here, so be careful. Okay.
We'll be right back.
I thought I hit something, and it just fell down.
It's a lot to get here. I want to stay here.
Oh, we haven't got spare. It's just a question of 922.
John Ward came and he built a better car than everybody else, and it showed in the results.
Thank you. you think people who really like to race don't really race for the prize?
There is a prize anyway.
What is it?
No, you get the choice of women at the end of it, don't you?
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't know. I haven't won it.
I woke up in the morning and they're showing the result of the race on the tennis. I think you sort of looked at the tennis. Oh, Mamma Mia.
Yes, I flipped. I won't mince words. I had burnt out, went gaga, bananas, nuts. On that great highway called life, I had driven off a cliff. So I ran back to America, the perfect place for a nervous breakdown. In case you're wondering why I've come to Los Angeles when others run to somewhere like India, it's because I figure, look, just because I've cracked doesn't mean I have to give up on room service. I got in touch with a friend I had here about 20 years ago. I told her I wasn't well. So she invited me to this new age party. She said there'd be people there who could help me. Considering I was crazy, it was difficult to navigate. I got lost.
I go on a total live wheatgrass regime.
You eat the wheatgrass.
You eat the wheatgrass, you
People put wheatgrass on their skin, people put wheatgrass in their hair.
I really have a headache. Oh, these people. I gotta get out of here. Maybe it's not too late to swim back to England. I floated for a long time, hoping to be eaten by jaws. Then I found some new friends.
We're having a what we call a food process. Think of the food and let's get ready. Yeah. This is your wedding. This is your day. Your moment. You to you. Will you repeat after me?
Yes.
Ruby.
Ruby.
From this day forward. I promise to consciously care for you.
And with this ring.
I pledge my faith and love.
To me, right?
Yes, to you. Congratulations.
I'm married.
Twice. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you, your name?
Mrs. Ruby Wax.
Ruby, whole and complete and blessed by God.
All right, yes. I'm healed and I'm out of here.
I'm going to look at your chakras now.
You can see my chakras?
Mm-hmm.
What are they like? Are they like warts?
No, dear.
No, L.A. was definitely the wrong place to find myself. I learned one thing, though. There's a seeker born every minute. But now I was in the right place. This is San Francisco. This is where I went when I was young and I ran away from home. And I was completely crazy. You know, I remember the be-ins, the love-ins, the, oh my God, I'm completely out of my mind and I've sprayed my body green-ins. Come down to these docks many moons ago. It was tragic. Those beautiful houseboats I remembered were sinking. The psychedelic paint was still there, but it was bleeding into the water. And the images I had in my youth were destroyed. This was like a graveyard filled with the walking dead. I was hoping to find someone I knew from those days.
Hi.
Maybe this girl.
We're just a bunch of reincarnated people around here.
Well, that was a stupid question then.
Yeah, we all were black at one time. We only turned white through the ages.
What happened to them? I worshipped these people when I was young. They were inspired. They were crazy, you know, when crazy was good. And now, it was like their brain cells had fried. Were they punished for having too good a time?
Thank you.
decided to escape the way I used to. I got stoned. Only this round, they were called smart drugs.
These are legal.
People can wear it.
Another room full of aliens.
Where's the smart bar?
Why are you up at 10 o'clock?
Possibly at 10 o'clock, or at 10:30, something like that.
10:30 is the engine starting to roll.
The engine starts to roll.
Yeah.
I have some coffee.
Yeah.
I have some paracetam.
Yeah. What is that? Does that make you perk?
It perks the brain.
Yes.
It speeds up the synaptic flow.
Yeah.
And I may have a squirt of vasopressin. It's really important to have constant reality shifts. You know.
What's your favorite reality shift, though?
Well, DMT. Dimethyltryptamine disease.
Which is for work reasons or for play?
Well, DMT is all of the information in the universe mainlined into your central nervous system in one moment.
It reverses the aging process. It's legal, too. It's just organic compound of various growth hormones. And, you know, I've used it creatively to be able to get by in 4 hours of sleep.
This is Stafford. Stafford is in the town of Stafford. And what do you do?
She's a model.
I'm a transvestite. A transvestite?
Mm-hmm. Does it feel good?
It feels okay.
Okay. You know what one thing I noticed that, it felt really good, right? It didn't really feel good. I thought that it felt good, but, you know, when I reconsidered how it felt, it was totally different.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
All right. Shall I move you to the smart car?
Yeah. I want those things that make you more intelligent. What year did Abraham Lincoln die? Now.
Well, I'm not studying history.
Listen, I have to go now. I have a terrible headache. I've had a really good time. I've just got to go. Okay, can I just ask you?
Yes?
Which way are the woods?
I didn't know why I said I was going to the woods. I only got as far as the car park, and then I passed out. And I was so crazed now. I had this dream that I was running toward what I thought might be God, only I couldn't get near him.
Could actually bring you something that could be meaningful in your life.
We all had to go off alone into the woods and find our spot to live for the next 3 days. I climbed and I climbed and I climbed, hoping to find a taxi. We were supposed to remember which direction we came from. Where's the north? I lay and I looked and I looked and I looked, and it became very still.
Artist post-acid insights might genuinely be hard to express. All the normal points of reference would have suddenly become obsolete. As Kesey intimated, it might encourage one to make life an art rather than art from life.
And throughout his life, Dick was haunted by the death of his sister. It's no wonder that Dick throughout his life imagined a lot of alternative worlds in which, at least in his head, that lost sister could live again.
Of a popular breakout. Bebop. Dissolved inner resistances and presented the user with hotly alluring vistas. The pleasure-seeking and the spiritual tendencies were about to fuse under the mighty impact of the most psychedelic chemical yet to be made by man. It was called LSD, more commonly known as acid. It was an awesomely potent chemical that could escort the user to the ultimate banquet of the senses, or deposit him in the lap of God for an 8-hour audience. Dr. Oscar Janiger was a psychiatrist who administered LSD to film stars and artists in the late 50s.
Basically, the eyeballs are the windows of the brain. You open up, dilate those eyeballs to have this creative experience.
However, some of the major players in the LSD story made a convincing case for living life itself as an art. Ken Kesey, author of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, is a prime example.
This is the Mandelbrot set. One of the most beautiful and remarkable discoveries in the entire history of mathematics. Yet it was discovered as recently as 1980. The invention of the silicon chip in the 1970s created a revolution in computers and communication, and hence transformed our way of life. We are now seeing another revolution. This is going to change our view of the universe and give us a better understanding of its working.
I'm Arthur C. Clarke. I write science fact and science fiction. You may know my movie, 2001, A Space Odyssey. I've seen some remarkable developments and inventions in my lifetime, but one of the most extraordinary is the Mandelbrot set and fractal geometry. This film will explore the fractal universe, and on our voyage of discovery, we'll be helped by Professor Ian Stewart of the Mathematics Institute, University of Warwick, and author of over 100 published scientific works. Dr. Michael Barnsley, former professor of mathematics at Georgia Institute of Technology, who received a $2.5 million government grant in 1991 to develop fractal image compression systems. Professor Stephen Hawking, the mathematician and cosmologist, and author of the best-selling book, A Brief History of Time. And finally, Dr. Benoit Mandelbrot, whose unorthodox mathematics led to the discovery of the Mandelbrot set and fractal geometry.
I first saw the Mandelbrot set somewhere in the mid-80s. I remember it quite clearly. We were at a mathematical conference on something totally different. And everyone went along to this exhibition because it was mathematical pictures. And there were these amazing coloured pictures on the wall. And I'd really not seen anything like this before. It's not easy to describe the Mandelbrot set visually. It looks like a man, it looks like a cat, it looks like a cactus, it looks like a cockroach. It's got little bits and pieces that remind us of almost anything that you can see out in the real world, particularly living things. So it has a character that reminds us of a lot of things, and yet it itself is unique and anew.
The Mandelbrot set is real, an absolute thing, no question whatsoever. Any mathematician or any computer scientist or student in a school can study it and find the same, describe the same thing. It's a common experience. And so such things that can be magnified forever and have infinite precision do exist, but they're not touchable.
It's a geometrical shape, an icon, if you wish, which somehow embodies as an example a very important aspect of how the world works. Somebody recently actually called this set the thumbprint of God.
Now we'll begin our serious exploration of the Mandelbrot set. A voyage which, in fact, could last forever and ever, much longer than the lifetime of the universe. A billion times, a billion times, until the original set was bigger than the entire universe, we would still see new patterns, new images emerging, because the frontier of the M-set is infinitely complex. And when I say infinitely, I really mean that. Most people, when they say infinitely, they mean only or rather big, but this is really infinity. What is so remarkable, in fact, astounding, about the Mandelbrot set is that although it's infinitely complex, it's based on incredibly simple principles, unlike almost everything in modern mathematics. In fact, anybody who can add and multiply can understand the principles on which it's based. And that's why it was not discovered until the era of modern computers. It was on the 1st of March, 1980, at IBM's Thomas J. Watson Research Center in upstate New York that Benoit Mandelbrot first glimpsed the M-set. The seeds of this discovery were, in fact, sown decades before the MCET was first seen. In Paris, in 1917, a mathematician called Gaston Julia published papers connected with so-called complex numbers. The results of his endeavors eventually became known as Julia sets, although Julia himself never saw a Julia set. He could only guess at them, and it wouldn't be until the advent of modern computers that Julia sets could be seen for the first time.
For me, the first step, almost a difficult mathematical problem, was to program it and see how it looked like. And after a few weeks, we had this very strong, overwhelming impression that this was a kind of big bear we have encountered. Is that from very simple formulas you can get very complicated results. It's fundamental from viewpoint of the very base of science, because what is science? In a way, a very simple formula, Newton's law, which is just also a few symbols, can, by hard work, explain the motion of planets around the sun and many, many other things, the 15th decimal. It's marvelous. A very simple formula explains all these very complicated things.
There's an interesting parallel with the equation that almost everybody is familiar with, the only equation almost everybody is familiar with, E equals mc squared, Albert Einstein's equation that says matter and energy are equivalent to each other. That was a very simple equation with very far-reaching consequences.
Just look at this. Now, you may think that the frontiers are moving, but there's no motion whatsoever. Only the colors are cycling. In or out. Nothing is moving.
When you get very, very fine to very, very small details, the variations can become of overwhelming complexity. So complex that no single picture can possibly give justice to them. It's impossible in a black and white or color picture to show how complicated it is. The only way is to use what we call the color cycle. That is, the colors change regularly, and each set of colors, in a way, reveals a different property of these variations, a different variation. So by having this color cycling, one reveals in a very, very strong fashion the extraordinary complexity of the set. If the whole set were represented at this scale, the end of the set would go so far as to go somewhere near the star Sirius. Very, very far, enormously big, for this very tiny speck. Yet in the middle of the speck, you see an exact replica of the whole.
One of the most striking facets of the Mandelbrot set is the internal consistency of the object. It all hangs together. And if you look at the boundary and zoom in, if you look in just the right place, what you see is baby Mandelbrot sets, perfect in every detail. They're just slightly bent compared to the real set. You can't even see that, but if you look closely, they are. And they're decorated by slightly different external features. And then by the same token, if you zoom into the boundary of those, you see baby Mandelbrot sets, the second generation. And inside those, the third generation. It goes on forever. And so you're seeing islands of order in a sea of chaos.
I'm sure it's occurred to you that the Mandelbrot set looks like some kind of strange insect. It certainly has an organic feeling about it. It's got warts all over it, and it's also quite hairy. If we go out along one of those hairs, we find something rather interesting. Now look what's happening. At the tip of each hair, it splits into two others, and so on. Each is splitting, going on indefinitely. This splitting up, this bifurcation, going off into apparently random directions quite abruptly, is typical of a class of mathematical entities called fractals. The Mandelbrot set is the most famous fractal.
The word fractal means any geometrical structure that has detail on all scales of magnification, no matter how big you make it, you still see extra new details you didn't see before.
The closer you come, in a certain sense, imagine yourself like somebody coming on a rocket. From far away, you see very little. And the closer you come, the more detail you see. If we come very, very close, you begin to see rocks, and finally the idea of coastline disappears, because one doesn't know any longer where is land and where is water. Which are geometric shapes which are equally rough at all scales.
One of the revolutions in thought that's resulted from this discovery, I'd like to emphasize that all these shapes or objects, or whatever you call them, although they look real, are generated entirely in the computer by following out a few simple instructions and repeating them over and over again. This is the way in which nature creates things.
It's exactly like the DNA in a butterfly's egg. Somehow that unravels and unrolls to form the extraordinary and beautiful pattern on a butterfly's wing, with its myriads of colors and form. Somehow it's hidden in that seed, in the DNA, and not only that, but the wings themselves probably only occupy a relatively small part of the total DNA. They are, if you like, a little formula that is unraveled by the process of growth and deterministic following of rules to form this natural and beautiful thing.
Living creatures seem to be complicated structures produced from simple rules, simple laws of physics and chemistry. And a lot of the structure that you see in living creatures is organic but patterned structure, leaves on trees, ferns particularly, things like that, have the same feature that the Mandelbrot set has of, you look at little pieces of them and they have lots and lots of detail. And in fact the little pieces look very similar sometimes to the whole thing. It's very tempting to compare the way a simple formula produces a complicated Mandelbrot set with the way very tiny things in nature produce complicated organisms. And there are certainly some similarities in that there is the same kind of unfolding of a process. The instructions are there, but not an actual description of the object.
Once you develop a fractal geometer's eye, you can't help but see them everywhere. Every single thing you see is one way or another described by reference either to itself or to something else in the picture you see. It's as though you're staring at a vast dictionary, but the dictionary words are bits of pictures, and the references, the definitions of the words, are made with other bits of pictures. And so you stare at one picture. I look out in the garden and at the trees, and I see this set of relationships between the picture and other bits of the picture. Those relationships are no more nor less than the assertion, from my point of view, that what I'm seeing is fractals everywhere.
Discovery of fractal geometry changes completely the kind of patterns we can look for in nature, and that is a really fundamental change to the sort of things mathematicians and scientists can do, and that's got to have a big effect.
Fractal geometry is already being applied throughout the physical sciences as a way of describing data in a new way, and the dream is that a fractal geometer can describe a cloud as simply as an architect can describe a house. He can use his intricate, repeatable formulas, simple formulas, to describe these unimaginably complex and beautiful shapes, and then communicate them from me to another scientist, to you. Here's not my straight line, build it straight, but here's my ragged formula, but it's very simple. Go build it wild like this. Can sort of think that they might even be the sort of semaphore of nature, of the physical world, of how it tells itself what it's supposed to be.
Let's go back to the Mandelbrot set
and to get some more of the strange flora and fauna of the Mandelbrot Zoo. There's a certain similarity between these shapes. You can recognize they're cousins of each other, and yet they're all different, despite their similarity. There's an infinite variety here, just indeed as there is in the world of nature. We see shapes that remind us of elephants' trunks, tentacles of octopi, seahorses, compound insect eyes. There's some connection between the Mandelbrot set and the way nature operates. I'm looking at Saturn, one of the most beautiful objects in the sky. In fact, we've discovered quite recently that the beautiful rings of Saturn, which have intrigued astronomers for centuries, do illustrate some of the phenomena we've been discussing in the Mandelbrot set.
To me, just looking up at the Milky Way is staring at a fractal. It's got an extraordinary dotty character, and yet if you take a magnifying glass to it, that is a telescope, and you look at it ever closer, you find that there are hundreds and thousands more little dots where you thought there was almost none. So you get an immediate example of a structure that seems to go in and in and in with more and more detail.
I had the great privilege of having a discussion with the famous cosmologist Stephen Hawking when I passed through London recently. So perhaps the real universe does end there in smallness, but we're not sure. It may indeed go on forever, like the Mandelbrot set. We just don't know yet. These pictures are all very pretty, but what's their practical value? And I'm tempted to answer in the famous words of Faraday, who once said, when someone asked him what use were these experiments playing with wires and magnets, what use is a newborn baby? Faraday is also supposed to have told the Prime Minister, one day, Mr. Prime Minister, you'll be able to tax it.
Will there be a new type of, not computer, because before you perceive understood about desktop computers, they weren't here, and one didn't imagine them. But there will be new devices, new extraordinary devices, based on the principles of fractal geometry that will emerge over the next centuries.
Suppose you were the owner of a television station or a satellite, we could broadcast just one television program. And somebody came to you and said, with the same amount of power, you can broadcast not one, but 10 programs. What would that be worth to you? Obviously, it would multiply the value of your investment 10 times overnight. Well, That's the sort of thing that fractal geometry makes possible. Atlanta, Georgia, headquarters of Michael Barnsley's Iterated Systems. In 1991, Barnsley received a $2.5 million government grant to develop fractal image compression systems. Corporations such as Microsoft, Mitsubishi, Multicom and Virgin now use Barnsley's image and data compression software.
One of the most exciting moments occurred when I discovered the collage theorem. We'd been trying to work out how you could control a certain class of dynamical systems to make pictures of leaves. Then, struggling with the question, it just dawned on me that it was very simple. You needed to form a collage, a covering of the object. The discovery of how to automatically calculate the collage for an arbitrary picture came to me in a dream. From the early days of doing mathematics, I used to have a recurrent nightmare, which was something to do with studying matrices. And they kind of remind one of perhaps an old-fashioned telephone switchboard. Well, in the dream what happened was there was thousands of holes and lots of wires connecting everywhere to everywhere. And it was always a sort of tense muddle between the switchboard with all the wires going everywhere, always in a horrible tangle, and somehow it represented a matrix. I'd had this nightmare many, many times over 20 years. Night of the anniversary of my father's death, 2 years after, suddenly I saw in the dream how you could straighten out the switchboard, how all the wires would become untangled and nicely connected, and how you would join all the wires from big blocks to little blocks in the grid. And I woke up in the morning, I knew I'd discovered it, that this was it. This was the total secret to fractal image compression. How to automatically look at a digital picture, these ones made of the low resolution input, like your eye receives, and how to turn it into A, a formula, and B, an entity of infinite resolution. So the goal is now to be able to capture this fire of Prometheus, if you like, this fractal wonder, put it in a box, and being able to make this available to everyone.
What is not so well known is that there are also satellites up there, so-called spy satellites or reconnaissance satellites, which produce images of the Earth, or at least points of particular interest to the military, with thousands of times the definition of the weather satellites. But this means they have to transmit tremendous amounts of data to the ground, far more information than the weather satellites. So therefore, data compression, the ability to squeeze images and send them and then expand them again on the ground, is of enormous importance to the military. And we can thank those satellites for the fact that World War III has not yet broken out, and hopefully never will break out. Fractal geometry also has surprising applications in medicine. This is the blood circulatory system of the human body, and yet you'll recognize it is a kind of fractal. Now we can understand what is really happening when our blood circulates. Here is the most important fractal of all in the human body, a small portion of the incredibly complex wiring circuit of the brain. We may never understand how our brains work, but if we do, I suspect they'll depend on some application of fractal geometry. Why I think there may be some connection between the Mandelbrot set and the wiring of the brain is because when I close my eyes and press my fingers against my eyelids, I see these patterns. I'm sure you're all familiar with them. You also see them when anybody gives you a bang on the head. Well, sometimes these patterns echo some of the shapes of the Mandelbrot set. Also, I am told, I have never tried the experiment myself, that when certain illegal chemicals are ingested, you experience visual hallucinations strikingly similar to some of the patterns of the Mandelbrot set. Why do these strange patterns have such an appeal? Well, obviously they trigger some kind of resonance in the mind. And incidentally, there's an odd coincidence here. The name Mandelbrot and the word mandala for a religious symbol. I'm sure it's a pure coincidence, but indeed the Mandelbrot set does seem to contain an enormous number of mandalas or symbols. The paisley pattern is one, and I'm sure there are many others. and in ecclesiastical design, such as stained glass windows, particularly in Islamic art, you find many echoes of the Mandelbrot set centuries before it was discovered.
Experience which many people repeated and told me about, I had experience immediately that when I first saw them, I was the first person to see them. There was absolutely no way anybody could have seen before. Yet, after a few days or sometimes a few hours, a few minutes, it became almost familiar. I was finding features in it which I've seen somewhere. So where have I seen them? Well, first of all, certainly, as I said, in natural phenomena, but also perhaps in art. So I wonder why is it so. We know the brain has some cells which handle shapes, boundaries, and other cells which handle the colors. Does the brain have also cells which handle fractal complication? Well, we don't know. It's a purely hypothetical question. It's a tempting question, but we don't know anything about it.
Here's another strange resonance. This series of paintings was made in 1928 by a patient of Carl Gustav Jung, the co-founder of modern psychology. Jung would have been surprised and delighted to know that the computer revolution, whose beginning he just lived to see, would give new impetus to his theory of the collective unconscious, the idea that there is a well of consciousness compounded of primordial universal images that we all share, the substructure or background of awareness. The mind clearly finds resonances in the M set, but there are other wider implications too. This mathematics offers new insights into the way the universe works, how much in life is determined, and how much is due to chance.
When Isaac Newton came up with laws of motion and laws of gravity, the picture that emerged was of a clockwork universe. It was of a machine that ticked on a predetermined course. What we needed to know was where it was now, what it was doing now, and then you could predict the future forever. And there are two challenges to this. One is quantum mechanics, which says, in fact, there is irreducible chance built into the very fabric of the universe. And you can't actually say exactly what it's doing now, you can't say exactly what it's doing ever. But the other is things that come out of the Mandelbrot set and related parts of mathematics, which is even in the Newtonian world, in practice, you may not be able to predict the future. It can be deterministic in principle, but not in practice.
This is how God created a system which gave us free will. It's the most brilliant maneuver in the universe to create something in which everything is free. How could you do that?
Albert Einstein refused to accept the idea of a dice-playing deity. He wrote a letter to Max Born in which he said, "You believe in a God who plays dice, and I in complete law and order." So he obviously felt that chance and deterministic laws were not compatible, and he preferred the deterministic laws. Now what the Mandelbrot set and chaos and related things have done for us is to show that you can have both at the same time. So it's not whether God plays dice that matters, it's how God plays dice.
I can tell you, exploring this set, I certainly never had the feeling of invention. I had never the feeling that my imagination was rich enough to invent all these extraordinary things. I was discovering them. They were there, even though nobody had seen them before. It's marvelous. A very simple formula explains all these very complicated things. So the goal of science is starting with mess to explain by a simple formula. This is kind of dream of science. And in this case, a dream is implemented in a fantastic fashion.
Often when I'm looking at my computer screen and watching the beautiful images unfolding, I'm reminded of Keats's famous lines, "Charmed magic casements opening on the foam of perilous seas in fairy lands forlorn." The Mandelbrot set is indeed one of the most astonishing discoveries in the entire history of mathematics. Who could have dreamed that such an incredibly simple equation could have generated images of literally infinite complexity? We've all read stories about maps that revealed the location of some hidden treasure. Well, in this case, the map is the treasure.
מאוד מיוחד בשביל כולנו. הלחם והתורה מתאחדים ומתחברים יחד בעזרת השם, כשהמשפחה הצנועה שלנו מצטרפת לגאונים הקדושים של משפחת קליר הקדושה והתאורה, לחיי האירוסים של ילדינו מנשה ולאה.
You could not speak. being left again. And so you tipped your hat and waved, and then you turned back up the gangway of that steel tomb again. And in Mott Street in July, when I hear those seabirds cry, I hold the child in the man, the child that we leave behind.
I can still hear those lost boys calling. You could not speak, you were afraid to take the risk of being left again. And so you tipped your hat and waved, and then you turned back up the gangway of that steel tomb again. And in Mott Street in July, when I hear those seabirds cry, I hold the child in the man, the child that we leave behind.
And now you never will. And in my street,